The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they going up into Jerusalem, according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey, and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and man. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem, seeking him. These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to tell you a little story that might be familiar to you. The story is about a little 8-year-old girl who had just received her first Holy Communion. She loved our Divine Savior very, very much, and she earnestly desired that he be the most important person in her life. She made him the king of her heart. This she did by keeping the commandments as perfectly as possible, by practicing the virtues, especially obedience, charity, and honesty. She was obedient to her parents and her teachers. She was kind towards her relatives and her friends, and she always told the truth. Well, our Lord saw how good this little girl was, and he decided that he would repay her goodness with a little miracle. And so from the day she made her first Holy Communion, our Lord would speak with her after communion. The little girl would talk to Jesus, and Jesus would talk to her. She actually heard his voice. But she was not in the least surprised, nor did she think that this was strange. For in the simplicity of her heart, she thought that everybody could hear Jesus after communion and speak with him. Well, one day our Lord said to the little girl, Do you really love me very much? The little girl, of course, was confused by this question. She loved our Lord very much, and she knew that he knew that. But she replied, You shouldn't ask me that, dear Jesus. Why not? He asked. Because you know quite well that I have given you my heart, and it belongs to you. Yes, answered our divine Savior, I know, but I wanted you to tell me so. I wanted to hear you say it, for very few people love me nowadays. Well, a little while later, after receiving Holy Communion on another day, the little girl said to Jesus, Is it really true that you, who are God, can love a little thing like me? Then Jesus answered her in the same way that she had responded to him. He said, You shouldn't ask me that. And of course the little girl answered, Why not? Because you know quite well that I do. You are my own little apostle, and my sacred heart belongs to you. Well, said the child, I knew that you loved me, but I wanted you to tell me that yourself. And so it went on nearly every day. Well, one day the little girl told her confessor, Father Mateo, about the conversations that she was having with our Lord. Father Mateo, as you may recall, was the modern-day apostle of the Sacred Heart, and he is perhaps best known for beginning the practice of enthroning the Sacred Heart in the home. Now, after hearing about the little girl's conversations with Christ, Father Mateo was worried. And he was worried because he thought the little girl might be imagining these things. And so he wanted to be sure that it was really our Lord who was speaking to her. He wanted to make sure that it was indeed Jesus who was speaking to the child. And so he asked her to ask our Lord for the conversion of a great sinner, something to which the girl readily agreed. The next time the girl went to confession, she gave Father Mateo some surprising news. In her usual simple way, she said, Father, he is coming. Well, Father Mateo didn't exactly know what she was talking about by this somewhat of an abrupt statement, Father, he is coming. And so he asked her, What do you mean, child? Who's coming? The sinner you asked little Jesus for, Father, he's coming. Don't you remember? The little girl then went on to explain, The day after you told me to ask Jesus for the conversion of a great sinner, I told him what you said to me. I told him that you said that he would know quite well the soul you meant since he was God. Continuing, the little girl said, With a lovely smile, Jesus said to me, Yes, I know. Ask me always for souls, he said, and tell Father to ask me for them too, and he shall have them. Then Jesus told me this. He said, The man Father means, and whom nobody has been able to convert, will make his confession to him. But you, Jesus said, you must be my little missionary. You must pay the price for his soul by earning 3 gold coins. Do this by offering to me your prayers, your sacrifices, and your holy communions. These are the 3 gold coins, prayer, sacrifice, and holy communion. Now, when the little girl left the confessional, she left Father Mateo wondering just what would happen. But soon another penitent answered, and Father Mateo heard the man say, Father, I don't know what has happened. But since this morning, I am quite changed, and I have come to make my confession. It was the very man that Father Mateo had in mind when he had asked the little girl to ask our Lord for a conversion. Now, today, my dear friends, as I mentioned, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. The Feast of the Holy Family is one of the Church's many beautiful feast days. It was instituted by Pope Leo XIII in 1893 and it was added to the church's universal calendar in 1921 by Pope Benedict XV. Pope Benedict XV did this because he wanted to give Catholic families an example to imitate in their homes. The most perfect example of the virtues that should reign in the family. And of course, there is no more perfect example than the Holy Family. In the Gospel for the Mass, we read about one of the few moments recorded in sacred scripture in which Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are all mentioned. It is, however, among the most sorrowful events in the life of Our Lady and Saint Joseph. In fact, so tremendous was their sorrow that it constitutes the third of Our Lady's seven sorrows and the last of Saint Joseph's seven sorrows. The 12-year-old Son of God, his blessed mother, and his foster father had just finished celebrating the Jewish festival of the Pasch at Jerusalem, and they were about to set out on their return to Nazareth. In those days, it was customary for people of the same village to travel together, but it was also customary for the men of the village to travel separately from the women. And so the men traveled in one company, while the women traveled in the other. The children, however, were permitted to travel in the company of either parent. You had the men and the women, and the children could choose. And thus it was that both Our Lady and Saint Joseph believed that the Christ child was with the other one. Our Lady believed he was with Saint Joseph, and Saint Joseph believed he was with Our Lady. Now, when the caravan stopped for nightfall, the families reunited. Our Lady and Saint Joseph thus met up, each expecting Jesus to be with the other. But to their great sorrow, they discovered that he was not in either company. They began looking for him among their friends and their relatives, but no one knew where Jesus was. In fact, no one had even seen him since leaving Jerusalem. Our Lady and Saint Joseph concluded then that Jesus must have been left behind in Jerusalem. And so they hastened back a full day's journey to the city. There, the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph searched for Jesus. They looked and they looked and they looked. Up and down the streets of Jerusalem they walked, retracing their footsteps, looking for some sign of the Christ child. How many doors of homes they must have knocked on. How many people they must have stopped in the streets, hoping that there was some chance, no matter how small, that someone had seen the Christ child. How they searched for him, and how they longed to find him to bring him back home. This search, my dear friends, the search of Mary and Joseph for our blessed Savior, is not so different from what we must do at times within our own families. It is thus, I believe, quite fitting, in more ways than one, that this gospel is read on the Feast of the Holy Family. For how often we, like Our Lady and Saint Joseph, how often we must seek out our loved ones, children, parents, brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. How often we must seek out our loved ones who have strayed from Almighty God and from the one true Catholic faith, or who do not even have that God-given faith to begin with. How often we must go in search of them. For they are, in a very real way, lost. They are lost in the world. The world with its sin and vice, its pleasure and distraction, its false worship and belief, its utter worldliness. They are lost in it. They have lost their way, whether through their own fault or not. And we must therefore go in search of them and bring them safely back to the fold of Christ. Because if we don't, there may not be anyone else who will. I'm sure many of us here today can think of at least one loved one in such a situation. Perhaps we could think of more than one relative in so unfortunate a state. But whether it be one relative or many, let us resolve today to seek them out more devotedly than ever before. Yes, at times a friendly word of encouragement or a little hint here and there can effect much good. But the best way to find our lost relatives is to do what our Lord encouraged that little girl in the life of Father Mateo to do. Pay the price for their souls by earning spiritual golden coins. How do we earn these coins? By praying for the conversion of our loved ones every single day. By making daily sacrifices for them, and by offering up our holy communions for their conversion. That is how we earn the gold coins. That is how we earn the grace of conversion for our loved ones. That is how we find them. The conversion of some might cost only 3 gold coins, others might cost hundreds, and still others might cost thousands. I mean, look at St. Augustine. Look at how lost he was. Steeped in a life of impurity, stuck in the mire of heresy. How many prayers, how many sacrifices, how many holy communions did St. Monica offer up for his conversion? Nearly 20 years worth. Hundreds of thousands of spiritual gold coins. But what perseverance she had. She never gave up hope of finding St. Augustine. And likewise, we must never give up hope of finding our loved ones. We may seek them sorrowing as Our Lady and St. Joseph sought the Christ child, and as St. Monica sought St. Augustine. But we must never lose hope. We must never grow discouraged. And we must never despair of their salvation. For no matter how seriously one has offended God, no matter how far away he has fallen from him, there is always hope for his conversion. Even if he has 1 foot in hell, there is still always hope. Let us press on in our search then. And let us ask Our Lady and St. Joseph to help us. For by means of our prayers, our sacrifices, and our holy communions, we will, by the grace of God, find our lost relatives. And as the sorrow of Our Lady and St. Joseph at the loss of Jesus was turned into the 5th joyful mystery of the Rosary, the finding of him in the temple, may our sorrow at the spiritual loss of our family members be turned into joy. Earthly joy at their return to the fold of Christ. And eternal joy that we will share with our entire family when, please God, we are once again reunited in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.